At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Many pastors, when I taught in Asia about the seasons of ministry and why people quit ministry, this is a huge one. They put people in those outer two circles as if they were in the inner one. And when they leave, the pastor, the person in the ministry, takes it personal. This happens in your life, in friendships, in relationships, in work. That guy is at work, has been talking about the company and its success, and so we need more sales. And he gets everybody worked up, and everybody's excited because he talks about how amazing this company is until another company does it better or offers him more, and he's gone. And you're going, wow, I thought we were all in this together. And so the sales team, the people, sort of got to recover from this because he kept talking about team, brotherhood, until I get paid more. When we find out our missions weren't the same. When you have two visions, what do you call that? Division. The word die means two. Okay, the suffix. All right? So that's these people there. If there's somebody else that's pursuing the goal, assuming they have the same one, they will abandon you. This, you got to understand this. Why most people I know who used to go to church, it isn't doctrine, it isn't the music, it's relationships. They got hurt in a community, i.e. the church, all right? I think most of the time they had unrealistic expectations, or they thought the goal, the purpose of this community was something different than what it is. So like I said, this, you might think this is, no, this is really practical. Most church splits aren't over doctrine. Most church splits and fights aren't over the music, most of them. And when it does split over the music, we get upset because I thought me and Glenn, I thought we were together here, and he's willing to leave because we don't sing the songs we sing. You know, and I'm hurt, so I can just worship at home. Boy, I wish you were here Wednesday night. What's confusing, though, all right, between a constituent and a confidant, they look a lot alike. They sit in the pew right next to you every week. The difference is motive. You don't give benefits, and I use this example because I talk about the workplace, benefits to temporary workers, right? Your temp, do they give you insurance and retirement? No. These people are temporary in your life. Be careful what you share with them. Because I sit down with these people. Well, nice, whatever. And where'd you used to go? Or do you go to church now? Well, we used to. And then they start puking. They start telling me all the things that were wrong, and then they start telling me about your stuff. Well, you got to see. I mean, I think the reason Glenn behaved like this is because, and now he knows Glenn's stuff, and they justify their actions because they know your stuff. Be careful who you share your deep stuff with. How many times have you shared your deep stuff and been hurt? Don't answer that question. So, again, they'll leave you. Both groups will leave you. don't take offense to that because it wasn't about you to start with. Give you an example. There was this guy named Judas. He was the treasurer of the group. You know what that means? The group trusted him. They thought there was a connection and a trust here. But see, Judas had a different goal. And when he found out Jesus wasn't achieving his goal, he was gone. All right? You can see division between Paul and John Mark. Created differences between him and others because of relationships, not doctrine. Here's the point. Satan will try to use these relationships against you. Why? He wants to distract you from your goal and your purpose. Not goal as in just mission. I'm talking about your purpose for being. If he can get you going, you know what? They hurt me. I'm staying home. He got you. Yeah. You think it was people. But you forget that we battle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in heavenly places. The number one, God could tear you, or Satan could tear you apart, even within the community of your families, create division between you and your 14-year-old. And you want to handle it one way, your wife wants to handle it another, and now there's more division. Why? Because Satan cares? Really? No, he's there to distract you. So husband, you aren't the spiritual leader. You're so dealing with the conflict so bad that you've given up devotions and worship time in your family because you're so stressed out about the division that's happening in your family. He won. He didn't kill you. He didn't take your car. He didn't take your house and a mortgage. Now he might do that to distract you at the same time. And then don't be like David and go ask why. All right. So that's what his goal is. I see in the church, the hardest at work. The hardest thing's not work. It's relationships. It's the person that sits in the cubicle next to you or that other person. Or the people that steal your salad out of the refrigerator. Right? That's part of relationships. You get frustrated because that other guy comes in late all the time. What business is that of yours? Maybe if he's on the assembly line next to you, I understand that. But we get frustrated. We don't think it's fair that he gets paid and he shows up 15 minutes late. And there's creating division in the relationship. So the secular world understands that they use this word. And you hear team. You hear team all the time. Team. Why? Because they know if there's division in the group, you don't accomplish the goal. The purpose, the mission isn't achieved. That's what Satan wants to do in the church, is stop the church from completing its mission. If you've been around at all, you know this is true in the church. But then there's that inner circle called the confidants. Very few. Listen to me. I know you have 482 friends on Facebook. No, you don't. Jesus himself had Peter, James, and John. And his deep moments, who did he want? All 12? Peter, James, and John. Whether it's Gethsemane or Mount Transfiguration, those are the guys he invites in to his difficult time and a time when he's glorified. Both, he pulled those are in there at the both at the same time. There are a few, very few. I'm not even going to put numbers to that. And ladies, you tend to feel a little differently about a friend than we do. Than guys do, so I'm not going to talk about that, but there's different ways we think about it than I got girls and a wife. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin. Maybe I should have used the word companion. I don't know, that didn't seem connected enough for me. Proverbs 12:26a, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. You want to be loving? I agree. You want to be welcoming? Absolutely. You want to be open, not artificial, not pretentious. I understand that. But these scriptures, even though they're written by men, the Bible says that those words were inspired by God. There's some wisdom for you. And you've seen it, right? Come on, you've seen it. You have kids at all. Well, if they're treating you that way, or they say this, or they want you to do that, they're really not your... Yeah, see, immaturity thinks that they are. Little wisdom, you go, no, that ain't no friend. If they're asking you to do something against the Word of God, for one, or your values, or against your parents' wishes, that's rebellion. That ain't a friend. All right? They're with you for the long haul. They're with you even if the cause fails. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, we're a family of God. Until you lose the building. Until the building project. A lot of people will leave you in the middle of building a project. Just move location. Statistically, you move from this location to that, and people say, see you later. I was with you because you were convenient. You were close. Now you move 5 miles. I'm out of here. No. Confidants are there no matter where you move. There's someone you could talk to and be transparent with. And I put it this way. They know what you're afraid others will find out. Think about that. That person knows that you should hope nobody else finds that out. Okay? There are people that'll come bail you out of jail and never tell anyone. You can trust them with your failures and your dreams. You can be at the Garden of Gethsemane with them, and you can be at the Mount Transfiguration with them. In either case, they don't go, man, he's on his way to places. I'm out of, I can't run in those circles. They don't do that at the dream level. And they don't go, ooh, man, that guy, oof, ugh, I'm out of here. Now you know why they're very rare. If you look around this room, you have to wonder. I do. I understand this. I had to learn this lesson. Many, and you've heard me say this, most of you, please don't take offense to this. Most of you are connected with me because of my gift. I understand. We love you, Pastor. I know that. But what you really love is the gift God gave me. That's okay because God gave me the gift to give it away. I understand that. But not many of you know the stuff I don't want anybody else to know. Most of you don't know that. Do pastors have those things? You bet they do. Some of you know the basics about my past, but I don't give you the details because they don't matter, for one. How do you recognize a confidant? Well, some of those characteristics that we just told you about, but they protect you. Jonathan. Whoa, dad's after you? Don't worry about it, dude. I have dad's ear, and I'll tell you when he's coming. Okay. They speak well of you when others malign you. Jonathan does the same thing as Saul tries to talk about, and Jonathan, wait a minute, Dad. This dude's loyal. This guy's faithful. He hasn't ever really did anything against you, right? David himself declares that to Saul in the next chapter, by the way. They cry and grieve with you like no one else, and we saw this in chapter 20. And they, David and Jonathan, kissed each other and wept together. They hang with you and they cry with you. They don't leave you when you're broken. They don't leave you when they're broken. You go closer in the hard times, and you heard me say that to the kids. Those people, you actually grow closer. And let me use marriage as an example. You know, you thought you knew what love was, you know, when you're all googly-eyed at each other, all right? But as you went through difficulty and adversity together, you bonded, right? Hopefully, you didn't leave. All right? And therefore, and they don't leave you. A friend sticks closer than a brother. You know my brothers are my brothers? I'm stuck with them. No matter what I do, they're my brothers. You can check my DNA. They're my brothers. But a friend, that's deeper than blood right there. That's what that's telling me. A friendship can be deeper than blood. But a friend, a true confidant, always gets in your business. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. The wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses, Proverbs 27 and 6. Yeah, an enemy's a suck-up. We'll tell you, no, it wasn't your fault. No. She was, he was, they were, you poor victim, you. But the wounds of a friend, excuse me, you know what I noticed in this mess? You you could have, you should have, you maybe, let's pray about that together. Psalms 27 and 9, the perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from earnest counsel. Earnest counsel means this: they care about it because of you. They're earnest in it for you. I want you to think about this. How many people can you take hard counsel from? I remember in the early days of my marriage, my own father sitting down and saying, son, I want to talk to you. I don't like the way you treat your wife. That was dad. Could I take, was there a friend in my life that I could take that from? No. And I think my father knew that. That's why he sat down and did that. I know you guys see the way we are now when you think it's always been perfect, huh? It wasn't. Okay, I was a jerk. And God gave me a wonderful wife that sticks closer than, yeah. Amen. Good wife, who can find? I found one. No, I didn't. God brought her to me. I'm sorry, honey. I don't mean to embarrass you. And a pretty one, too. How do you recognize the confidence? Look in 2 Timothy here, what Paul says. The Lord grant mercy to the house of... somebody say that for me. Onesiphorus, right? Onesiphorus. Am I got that right? For he often refreshed me. He was not ashamed of my chains. He refreshed, and he wasn't afraid of the things that got me in this little prison I'm in. He didn't run from me when they accused me of, because really that's what Paul was falsely accused. He didn't run then. It's amazing to me when I see all these sexual harassment things going on in the news. Boy, people leave their friends in a hurry. Get on the bandwagon. Yeah, I've been watching. I thought he was awful. Then if you're a real friend, you'd have talked to him about that 20 years ago. Okay. But when I was in Rome, that is in prison, listen to this. He eagerly searched for me and found me. When he's in Rome, that's when he's in prison, you know. If you've seen the movie The Apostle Paul, you get a taste of that. He looked for me and found me. He didn't go, well, you know, he got in this trouble and I don't know where he's at now. That was nice. Looked for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. When I was planting the church at Ephesus, you know how he served there. But when I left Ephesus, he wasn't done with me. He came and found me in Rome. So the mission in Ephesus wasn't their connection. The connection was something else. Okay? I want you to, if you understand this truth, the enemy cannot use those other type of relationships. Do I have another one? No. Okay? And I'll put it this way. And you could go downtown, you could see it, this building outside here when it was stuccoed, whatever. You put up scaffolding, right, to build the building. Guess what happens after the building's done? Scaffolding goes away. You need those other two. You need comrades, right? You need constituents. They serve a purpose. They help you move towards that goal. They help you fight against an enemy, right? You got to have them in your life. But you can't become bitter and hurt when the scaffolding comes down. You need to recognize in yourself, in the relationships that you have, what are you? You're in relationship with them. You're in this community. Why? Because they're against? Because you're for? Or there's a person there you bonded to? You have to ask that question. Here's why. If you know it in yourself, you can make sure they know it. I don't know how you're going to communicate that. But you communicate. Then they know when you move on, you haven't burnt the bridge. They understand the next time they need someone to stand against, you're there. They know the next time they need to achieve a motion, you're there. But you're gone later. When you don't understand that, David looks at this and goes, look, didn't I just rescue these people? What are they going to do? They're going to turn on you. They're going to abandon you. Okay, I'm out of here. He asked God, what kind of people, what kind of relationship do I have? Oh, we had a common enemy? Then I'm moving on. He doesn't become bitter. Oh, God, why are they doing this? Why are they going to betray me, God? This just ain't fair. Why, God? He understood this. They had a common enemy, and that was it. Saul isn't their enemy. So when Saul would come and go, God tells him, if Saul comes, he's going to narc on you. Because Saul wasn't their enemy. All right? Jonathan, on the other hand, looks at David and says, yeah, you're going to be king. And when you become king, don't forget me. Don't forget my family and my descendants. Wait a minute. Saul wasn't Jonathan's enemy. If anything, David should have been his enemy because David's the one's going to take his place on the throne. But six times in this, it says Jonathan and David made a covenant. Each time. Matter of fact, when David's hiding later and Saul can't find him, Jonathan comes to visit him to encourage him. We'll see that coming up. Right. To encourage him? This means Jonathan knew where he was and didn't tell Pop. Why bother in encouraging the guy that's going to take your place? He's the one that's getting the promotion at work you want. God made a bond in them, and Jonathan was in it for David's sake. He knew where God was taking David, and he was there to help David get there. Any person who gets in the way of helping you become what God's called you to be is not a true friend. Or at that moment, they're being used by Satan. How do I know that? Jesus starts talking about his destiny, his purpose. Starts talking about the cross and dying. And Peter goes, oh, no, that ain't happening. And what does Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Peter? No, get behind me, Satan. Just earlier, he's talking about God was talking to him. Now he's saying Satan's talking to you. Why? Because you just spoke against my purpose, my divine purpose. That's how I know that it was Satan doing it. Now, you and I both know Peter was in it for Christ. But even Satan was able to use him there to speak against that. You got to be careful of that. Anybody that says, no, give up on what God's called you to do. Anybody that tells you that isn't speaking from the Lord. Now, they may be your close friend at that moment, not hearing from God. One moment they'll go, yeah, you're in a Christ. Yeah, I see it in you, man. Scott, yeah, it's there. Oh, quit. Do you understand? You have to ask yourself why you're in this body. What does God have for you here? Statistically, if I give you a task to do, a mission and a goal, church grows until I take that vision away. Okay, if you start children ministry, youth ministry, poor ministry, whatever it is, you'll get more people in your church. You will grow when I give you a place to focus. And I understand that. Until we have to cut the budget. And we have to let the youth pastor go and now get a volunteer. I've seen what happens. X amount of people with their teenagers go to the next church where they have a full-time paid guy. My hope is, my prayer is, that you and I, the elders and you and us, have the same goal. We're in it. I'm not saying that you had to be my best friend or I'm yours and you're going to share with me your intimate stuff and I'm going to share with your I didn't say that. But when I was praying about these things, and I text the elders, this is the purpose of our church, and I know it's broad, to tell the world who God is. Now that doesn't, to reach the world with the lost for Christ, to share the love of Jesus. I don't understand that, but now that means nothing unless you know who God is. That's our goal, is to tell the world who God is. Hopefully you can get in that with me. I recognize that that's a goal. It's not a constituent. I understand that. But I also know this. There's only a few of those anyway. Can we tell the world who God is? Thus I read Revelation 14, 6, 7. The eternal gospel, he tells you something about God. Fear him, because he is the creator and the great judge. It all begins right there. That angel comes to share the gospel. He wants to tell people, this is God. When you go to Genesis, in the beginning, God created. There was nothing, but there was God. He is creator. He tells us that. He's covenant maker. He tells us that. He's redeemer. He tells us that. All based on this idea, he is perfectly, completely, perfectly holy. Can you stand it? Can you do that? Can you get with me in that idea? Now, that comes out in all kinds of ways. That comes in this. Why in the world we want to change the planters out front? Because if one person will walk in that door because of the comfortable way the building looks, so I can tell them about who God is, man, we'll put flowers everywhere. Because my goal isn't a beautiful building. Because this place is old. It's probably never going to be one. Okay, my goal isn't numbers. My goal is to tell people about who God is and then disciple them so they can tell people who God is. That means they have to mature. You should be here on Wednesday night. Let's stand. The Bible is full of these different types of relationships, and you'll see them throughout Scripture if you're paying attention. Okay? Father, I thank you for the confidants in my life. I thank you that for those folks, God. But I also recognize through the wisdom of your word that people you bring in and out of my life to achieve your purpose. God, help me to see the wisdom. Help us see the wisdom found in your word, that the enemy might not use then these relationships against us. That we would not be distracted from the purpose and call in our individual lives and in this community of believers. Why, God? Because if we do that, your name is glorified in your body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.